Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jay Armalee.
How's everyone doing? So I have homework that I'm going to give to you now, and then I'll tell you about it at the end because I don't want to forget. I think that was such a key for us today. I think we could change the world if we just did this one thing. That's a pretty bold statement. But I think what Shane was singing, you know, was singing the lines from that song, Holy Spirit, but let us become more aware of your presence. You know, I feel like right now we are aware of a lot of things, aren't we? Like you just turn on the TV, you talk to people, like things have been in the news for a long time. And I think in those moments, those distractions could actually get encouraged to think more upon those things than upon the presence of God. And so I want to encourage us, what a radical way, if we could, before we go into a grocery store, like I'm serious, you got to do this with me. Will somebody do this with me? Take 30 seconds or 1 minute before you go into a store. Let's do this for a week and compare notes. We're going to all have to try to remind ourselves. Josh, you got to get something online. Big, bold, help us remember, right? But if we would take 30 seconds before we went anywhere, Lord, let me become more of your presence right now. And you just sit and wait on the Lord and then go shop. You know, before, if you have to read something, you know, if you have to, my brother, for example, he has to scour for articles and all that. I wonder, though, if we have to do that, we just say, Lord, I'm going to stop because you know what I have to read, but let me become more aware of your presence. I wonder if we'll see things differently. That line hit me today. I had nothing. I said, Rod, I was going to have him close, you know, and we both were kind of feeling this thing, you know, this presence of God. So, man, I just want to encourage us. You know, when you wake up in the morning and when you go to sleep, maybe you set your alarm. I've heard people do it where they set the alarm on the hour. When they hear their alarm go off, they just say, Lord, I want to become aware of your presence right now. I'm telling you, that's good. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We're going to have a testimony. Here, Pastor Rod, if you want to clean that mic, and we're going to, you can take it over to Jeannie. Valini. Woo! Guys, ready for a good testimony? I told you last week, but I couldn't. I thought you were going to be here last week, so I was excited, but I'm like, I can't share the testimony until she does.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jay. I'm so excited. Praise God. May of 2019, my husband was diagnosed with low-grade lymphoma of the cancer of the colon, inoperable, too dangerous. So we declined treatments and just put our trust in the Lord. And July 31st of this year, he had another CAT scan. And the doctor called a week ago, the oncologist. And I said, well, what's the measurements of the tumor? I'm expecting them to be down. He said, there are no measurements. The colon is normal. Woo!
You know that testimony just did? Let us become more aware of his presence. And what's the next line? It was, Shane, what, the goodness, the glory of his goodness, or the glory of his goodness. Your testimony, let us just experience the glory of his goodness. Boy, I was waiting for that last week, but I think it's better this week. So we just stop and say, you know what? Why don't you just grab a hold of that testimony? If there's anybody in here battling cancer, if you know somebody that's battling cancer, why don't you just grab a hold of it and say, Lord, do it again. Testimonies cause us to say, do it again. So Lord, we just say, do it again for those that are battling right now. in Jesus' name. Anything that's related cancer, looks like cancer, is just ugly like cancer. We say, do it again, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Gosh, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Yeah, I'll try that again. Isn't that what it's all about? And now, Lord, we say, get him. Just so rock his world, Lord, that he will wake up going, what is this? And you'll be able to say, it's the goodness of God that you're feeling. Amen. Draw him in, Lord. Marshal him in. Good play on words there. His name's Marshall. Amen. Marshall, man. Okay. Yeah, Susan's husband, Wayne, has his surgery. But Lord, let's just say do it again. Like Bonnie's heart, you know, they're going to have to do all these things. No, you got a heart like a, what was it, a 12-year-old? 10-year-old. So we say, Lord, for Susan's Ferris's husband, Wayne, Lord, we ask you right now, not in our ability, but we will do it in our boldness because of who you are. We ask, Lord, do it again. Do it again. Eradicate cancer in his body. Lord, I pray when they get in there that they would see no signs of cancer. Lord, just like they said, what tests, what numbers are you looking for? Because the colon's fine. We say, do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Bladders. It was bladder cancer, correct, for this one? Bladder. Do it again, Lord. Cleanse that bladder right now. We just look at that bladder and we say, cancer, shrivel up and die. The name of Jesus is stronger than any chemo, better than any surgery. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to share a few things, but I really felt like today was just, and you started off, I didn't know you were going to be here, but started off beautifully, but just, I wanted to, as senior leaders, to share a couple testimonies, a couple things that remind us of all, you know, and if, I don't know if you guys have one or two that you can share, but Rod, you said you had one? I was just thinking for me, you know, I'm reminding myself of the benefit, the privilege we get to do. You know, what we get to do is such a beautiful thing, isn't it? I was thinking of how many youth conferences we've had where we've seen kids get so radically touched. How many have been a part of those, church, whether they've been in your home or you've come to minister? How many have ever walked away? Where's Murray? He might be. I remember Murray secretly pulling me aside one time and he said, Pastor Jay, don't tell anybody, but the youth conference is my favorite conference. I don't think you have to be ashamed of that. It's all right. So many times we've seen kids come to the front, radically touched and transformed. Leave. How many have ever seen a young person come in so dark and leave so light? That is one of the most remarkable things to watch that happen. It's so beautiful. But Pastor Rod.
Well, I got a couple of them. For me, one of them is at the House of Hope. And I don't remember the person's name, but they had never received a prophetic word before. In fact, I think they were, to be honest, they were just a little bit, okay, like, I'm here, a friend dragged me here, but I'm not really sure. And when they came out of that room, and I looked at them, and I'm like, was it good? And that shock look on their face, and her words were, how did they know that? And I had the opportunity right there and then to tell her again about the love of God, because it was all God that did that. And then we get out here and somebody else walks up to her, confirms the prophetic word that she got in the room, and then another person walks up to her and confirms it. And God was just doing it. It was just blowing her mind, because I was looking from the other side and seeing someone walk over, and then she's like a puddle on the floor. And God was just doing an amazing thing in there. So that to me is something where, man, what an impact that ministry makes. And it's just awesome in there. I got two more. Is that all right? And so one of them is, because you had asked, what was your specific question? I'd make sure that I got this right in there. It was about things that really that made an impact, right? So we've been teaching us all to make an impact. And there's somebody here right now that's made a massive impact upon my life. And in fact, this impact is not something that I'm not really very good at. I'm not good at giving cards. Okay, different. But if you're good at giving cards, put up your hand. Show me. Okay, that's awesome. Bless you. maybe pray for the rest of us, okay, in there. Because I'm not really great at that. But there's somebody here that's really, really good at it. And I've had a card from that person at the exact moment. In fact, one of the cards, I opened it up. And have you ever felt depression sort of right there? It's not really on you, but it's right there and it wants to nail you. You know what I'm talking about? And, come on, am I the only one? Right, you know what I'm talking about? Well, I felt like I was about to get overcome. And then I opened up this card. And this card had writing from the top of the one side all the way down to about halfway or more back the other side. In fact, it wrote around the corner of the words. You could tell what the words were, but I was just more interested. And that card lifted me out of the muck and the mire at that moment and got me to refocus. It made an impact. Donna, that card made an impact upon me. How many have received a card from Donna? There you go. See, all of those impacts, right, you know, in there. And so that's what I'm talking about. This is what we live our lives for, right? And so, Donna, I'm going to embarrass you just for a second. Would you stand up? And so I declare over you a brand new day. I declare over you all that God has for you. And I declare over you, remember when I did it the first time, and all of a sudden all of this artistic talent and all these things begin to come out, and you begin to dream, you begin to envision, you begin to write curriculum with me. This girl knows how to write curriculum. And she began to teach and all of these things. I pray over you and I release over you now the second wave, the new wave of what God has for you. That new wave, that second thing. And I tell you, as you were astonished at the first wave of what happened, you will be blown away with what God does in the next wave. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm not supposed to be preaching, am I? No. Okay, so just one real quick last one here. Camp Impact. This is what we call our VBS. And I tell you, what a great privilege to see kids impacted. To me, one of the greatest memories is for us all to be in this room. And that was the year that we had those massive posters that went from the bottom right to the top. But we broke in and we had so much fun and there was so many things going on. And then we started to doing some of these declarations. We never did declarations with kids before, right? And I know that I had some people going, I'm not really sure. And we began to do these declarations year after year. And a few years later, we came up with these declaration rings. And we gave them to every single kid. And I got a story back a little bit later on. Because have you ever been in a situation where you wonder if you're making an impact? Yeah. Come on now, right? Oh, yeah. And all of a sudden, I get a parent telling me that one of the kids would take these, and they didn't even know that they were doing it, would take these, and they would read them every single morning for a while until when they go to school because they were having such a hard time at school. And they would read these, and then they would hide them and take them with them to school. And I'm telling you, there were others that talked to me about the impact. I didn't even, you know, one of those things where you go, well, Holy Spirit, that was all you. I have no idea. It's all God that did that. But you talk about then impact, to see their faces and to see those kids turn around and pray for parents and pray for other people. I'm telling you that, I got to stop. That makes me jump, you know, in there. Amen.
Well, I'll do you next week if you want to. You do it all day.
So for me, as we were worshiping this morning and the presence of the Lord came so wonderfully, I was catapulted back to a Thursday night service in here when we moved our Harvest to Glory gatherings to here. And the presence of the Lord came so strong in here. It just built from the Wednesday night through all day Thursday. And we'd been praying for revival for years and still are. But I believe God gave us a foretaste that night of what it could look like. And I have never forgotten it. Pastor Jeff and I were coming out of my office with pre-service prayer, kind of, in there. Pastor Jeff talked about many things in there, and people would come in and say, I thought you said it was prayer. And it was always very different, but we did have prayer. And as we were coming through the door, he opened the door for me, and I started to come in here, and the worship team had been practicing, and he grabbed me and pulled me back. And he said, there's angels, walls of angels you're going to walk into. He said, the room's already filled with angels, and the presence of the Lord is there already. And I remember just the overwhelming presence of the Lord that night. You'll remember, you were leading worship. It was so powerful and so overwhelming that you didn't know where to go, what to do in his presence. And it built to the next morning. And the prophetic word that morning released was the glory that Ruth Heflin carried had been imparted into this house. And so, church, there is a well here that we need to be praying into, that God will just activate that well of revival. Why not now? Why not now, when everything is so negative, when everything is filled with fear, when the world doesn't know what to do? Why not now? Why not now? And then when we walk into a store, as Pastor Jay said, Lord, let your presence come. Why can't we be the wells? Because that's what God ordained. I believe he allowed us to have that week, that time, as a foreshadowing of what was going to come. The second thing I got to share, I received a word from the Lord that we would bring in, that the Lord would send in speakers, that he would connect people to me. And I watched when we were Little Woodsley Prayer Community, I watched God begin to connect us to people who carried the presence of God. I think of people you wouldn't know today unless you were there with us in the beginning, Wade Taylor. If you sat at the table with Wade Taylor, you were sitting with a man who had been taken into visible glory. I mean, he had been taken into the presence of the Lord to the point where he cried out and said, no more, Lord, I'm going to die. Impacted him forever. I think of Decker Tapscott from New York, who came to the Harvest of Glories, a prophet that could prophesy in ways you couldn't even believe. Bill Norton, an intercessor who opened the heavens over you. Pastor Jeff himself. I think of all the speakers God has brought into this place as a foreshadowing of what still lies ahead. Amen? It wasn't just, well, the season's over. No, there's more on the way, and we need to keep our eyes on that more because it's coming.
Amen. You know, I often talk, so good to hear stories and impacts and remind ourselves, and there's a couple when you were speaking, both of you, I was thinking of, and I don't have time because I want to share a little bit, but there's something that happens in corporate worship that sometimes cannot be found anywhere else. I remember just even as we were worshiping, the times that I've heard literally heavenly instruments, and I don't say that lightly because it's not something I would ever want to, you know, it doesn't happen very often, but when you can hear a violin playing and you're looking around for a violin, I've had that several times. I've heard instruments, I've heard angels sing. I've never seen angels, I'd really like to, but I've heard angels sing, and it's always happened in corporate worship. Yeah. It's always been corporate. So, aren't we blessed to be able to do a journey with God? Yeah. You know, three of our words, we haven't necessarily talked about them in a while, but just to remind you, you know, we're going after an encounter with God, but more importantly, seeing others encounter God, right? We're not just about us encountering God, but thank goodness we get to. Isn't it beautiful? But I believe an encounter is always, remember we talked about this with favor. Favor is always given to bless others. An encounter is always given, not just for us, but it'll splash on other people, amen? So it's encounter, empower, we love to see. And even those cards you were saying, those declaration cards, empowered even young people to be able to, you know, before to go, they went to school, they'd make declarations so they could walk through the halls. And we've seen, how many, you know, have we seen prophesy that have never prophesied before, pray over people that have never prayed? It started, remember, everybody hated me for it, walking across the aisle and saying hello to someone. You have a little bit of a reprieve right now. Just enjoy this reprieve. Because it'll come again. We'll be like, walk across the aisle and go pray for someone. So we've seen people empowered. And then we've seen people go. Everybody go in impact. Isn't that great when you hear stories from like the person you never expect, and they're like, I told somebody about Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Come on, church, isn't that awesome? Yeah. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Well, I want to continue. What did I talk about last week? Unity. Yay, unity. I want to read these prophetic words. I told you I'm going to read them every time as far as I can remember to. Brian Schwartz, what's going to mark this house is actually not just going to be great exploits. It's going to be unity that comes upon a people, a unity that God restores in such a mighty way. I love that. It says that unity is going to come upon us. And to me, that means another level that we've never seen before. But he also adds in there a restoration of unity. Because it's beautiful. How many know that we can always use restoration in relationships of unity? Right? Because we're still human. Turn to your neighbor that's beside you and say, you're still human. Can you believe it? You are from heaven, but you are still wearing earth clothes currently. All right, this is Jordan from Bethel. He said, I saw the word revival over you guys, not just a revival of signs, wonders, and miracles, but a revival of family. I see a family revival where actually this revival is birthed out of family. Did you catch that? So we're praying for the more, because I believe we have a measure of revival already. When people come in and feel the presence of God, that is revival. Anything that is being revived is revival. But how many know that there's more? Always more. Right? And so this says that a revival birthed out of family. So I think we just need to put in our hearts and go, Lord, this is so important, unity, because part of the next is the birthing of revival out of family. Are you catching me?
Yeah.
Okay, I think revival can come from a lot of different things. In Argentina, revival came, they were praying for it, but a pastor was shot, wasn't he, and passed away, and that was the unifying thing. Like, revival comes from things, and for us, this is saying literally another level of revival out of family. So it's birth out of family, out of connection, and out of unity, and I feel like you guys are going to see the greatest sense of unity in this area than you have seen in a while. Isn't that powerful? Last Sunday, I did not have a chance to read this, but last Sunday, Pastor Greg texted me this scripture. It's actually out of the New Living Translation. Isaiah 49 verses 19 to 20. He said, even the most desolate parts of your abandoned land will soon be crowded with your people. Your enemies who enslaved you will be far away. The generation born in exile will return and say, we need more room. It's crowded in here. Isn't that a cool translation?
Yeah.
Okay, nobody else got excited about that? Church, it's great when we see our family. We should always be excited when we see family. But church, get excited when people come in that don't know Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I want to say it's crowded in here. That's when I can't wait to see a family of believers that begin to go, hey, no, take my chair. We want to make sure, front row seat. We want to make sure you get in here. You know, don't stand against the side. We want you up close because we believe God's going to touch you. Sometimes right now, all that's going on can make us forget, you know, of what we love to do, which is the presence of God changing and transforming people. So we still dream in this hour, right? We still go after it, right?
Yes.
Okay, turn to Psalm 133. We'll just review quickly. I got just a few minutes, which is fine. Psalm 133. Anybody have a chance to see my good for me shake, but not so pleasant picture on Facebook? Psalm 133, we talked about it. It says, behold, how good and how pleasant. That was why I put my shake, because we talked about how some things are good for you, but not always pleasant. Some things are pleasant, but not always good. But he describes unity as both pleasant and good. He goes on to say, for brethren to dwell in unity, together in unity, it's like the precious oil upon the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron. We talked about how that precious oil is rare. It is holy. You know, that's the oil that he was trying to describe. And he's using these things to try to describe unity. It's rare. It's precious. It's scarce, and we want to go after it. Continue on, it says, running down on the edge of his garments, so covering the whole person. We want unity to cover the whole body of Christ. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, literally describing the dew that was so heavy on this mountain, literally wants to be in the dry desert places so it can renew and refresh. And then we ended with this, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Such a beautiful thing to know that unity has a blessing attached to it. Yes. That's the why. Why go after unity? It's not just so we can go all get along, but of course, that's a beautiful thing. We talked at length about how we love our extended family, but to see them come and dwell with us, it's easier sometimes said than done. But we want to see this beautiful unity that's among us, because it commands a blessing of life. So when we walk together in unity, it commands a blessing of life. Amen? Amen. How many of you experienced that in your marriage? You've walked together in unity and it's commanded a blessing of life. Awesome. That's the beautiful thing about marriage. Amen? Okay, so that's the why. Now, woohoo, you ready? How? How do you walk in unity? I wrote this down. Unity does not begin with agreement. Unity begins with love. You know, when I started to date Krista, I didn't agree to marry her and then fall in love. I know that can happen. I know there's arranged marriages and all that, and we're not talking about that. I fell in love, and then I agreed to a covenant because of that love. We talked at length last week just about the fact that, you know, there's so many different, you know, I joke around about animal, pet lovers, cats and dogs, and, you know, you could have disagreements on what kind of an animal. Our kids, we're divided in our house. Well, not really. Kids want a pet, we say no. And that can bring, like, disagreement and pouting and all that. Krista's highly allergic, so they think. No, she is, honestly. So you can't try to have unity on agreement, because how many know if you could agree today, tomorrow there might be something different to disagree on? Now here's the beautiful thing, and I want to talk about it. I said unity does not begin with agreement, it begins with love. How many have ever been to a conference, hopefully one of ours you can think about, and you got off the you know, prayer line, you got off the moment of worship, and there was a level of love in your heart that you hadn't experienced in a while? Anybody ever experienced that? You just literally want to hug everybody, don't you? And that's why, how many times have we had to kick you guys out at 12 o'clock at night going, we have to come back tomorrow, everybody leave. Do you know what that is? That's the agape love of God. I want to talk about that, and I want to show you in Scripture. You want to write anything? This is my message. The only way to unity is through love. And it is not brotherly love. Brotherly love is wonderful. We've talked at the beginning of summer, remember we talked about wisdom? We talked about the idea that there's really levels. We could have an earthly culture, but if we really want to see God move, what do we have to have? Heaven's culture, kingdom culture. Kingdom's culture sees from up here. And literally, he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So it's our blessed, beautiful responsibility that we can learn to go, Lord, I want to pull heaven and the culture of heaven to earth. But I'm beginning to discover there's a lot of earthly things that we can walk in that are okay. But like, how many love upgrades? Like, seriously, how many love upgrades? When you go, has anybody been upgraded a hotel room? First time we ever went to Mexico, what a glorious, like, just going to Mexico was amazing. And we kind of had a hunch that these rooms are going to be really small. And Krista went up and she just said, hey, is there any chance we can get an upgrade? They put us in this, like, massive room. We could dance, run, two patio doors. Like, that was an upgrade. So if I'm going to go, no, I'd prefer this little one, thank you. Heck no. I wanted that upgrade. And so I went from there to this upgrade. We've tried it a lot since then, but doesn't seem, it was like an anointing on that first time. How many have ever had a free upgrade on your car? Anybody? I know someone that they bought their vehicle, and as they were driving their new vehicle to the front for them to get in, the thing started to smoke. Brand new vehicle. And they went, oh, that's probably not good. So they upgraded them to another vehicle, better vehicle, like to buy. Like this was for free because they were so embarrassed. That's a good upgrade. So what I'm learning in the kingdom is we could do this kind of earthly level, or we can function in kingdom level, which is an incredible upgrade. So Jesus, before Jesus, they had this word. I'm going to say it wrong. Say it for me again. Philia. I was going to say filio, filio. Filio love comes from Philadelphia. That's where that word comes from, Philadelphia. It's brotherly love. How many have brothers and sisters that you love? Now, I'm not talking about in the body of Christ, like real brothers and sisters that you've loved. How many have found that love to fall short at times? Brotherly love is amazing, but the reality is brotherly love is still earthly love. And I love, you know, we want to function in that brotherly love. But the beautiful thing is that Jesus walks onto the scene of earth, and by the time he's done, he introduces a word that is literally a heavenly word, and it's called agape love. When they look at literature back in that day, Greek literature, that word is not even hardly used, because it's a word from heaven. It's a heavenly love. So he takes like, hey, you know, remember when Peter denied Christ and he's sitting with him and he's like, hey, if you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my sheep. That's actually filial love. But he does take it to another level and he says, you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And he literally takes that love. It's now agape love. I'm going to read you agape love. Why don't you turn to Romans with me? Turn to somebody and say, love keeps us all together. Romans 5, 5. Romans 5, 5 says, hope, now hope, does not disappoint. Let's just start there. Isn't that good? Hope does not disappoint. You guys waiting on anything, hoping on anything, praying into anything? Well, it starts with, hey, God's hope doesn't disappoint. That's just a free one there for us. Because, why does it not disappoint? The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by who? The Holy Spirit who was given to us. What are we singing about today? The very end. What do we say? Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Shane led us in that. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And then we go into, let us become more aware of his presence. And I don't know about you, but I felt like the atmosphere changed, and I felt like love dropped. I felt like peace dropped. Pastor Rod felt like healing dropped, like God was doing something. Why? Because it says it really clearly, the love of God has been poured out. Aren't you glad it doesn't say it's been dribbled out? Like really, there could have been other words, like it leaked out accidentally. Like I don't like when things leak, but I love when things are poured. And it says it's been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So I want you to know the how of going after unity. One of the things we have to become aware of is that we stop, like we said. I did not expect that, you know, when he was singing. I'm like, that's it. That's a key. God, let us become more aware of your presence. Because the presence of God will be love. God is love, and right? And if he's poured it out and the Holy Spirit is within us, I want to be able to walk into any situation. And I don't do this well. I got to learn too to be able to say, Holy Spirit, you are in me. The word does not lie. You poured out your spirit and you poured out love with your spirit. So Lord, I just help me to become more aware of your presence right now. More aware of your love. I could change the world. You guys with me? All right, turn to Colossians. We'll just work through that and then I'll be done. Colossians. I'm convinced when you get up to speak, the Bible books move around in your Bible. Last week when I was writing all this out and really focusing on Psalm 133, I read this scripture, and it's interesting because there's things, you know, you begin to see as you study it more. Keep your hand there. I'm going to read Ephesians, but keep your hand in Colossians. You don't have to turn there. Ephesians 4, 1 to 3 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, and lowliness and gentleness with long suffering. Make note of these words. Did you hear that? Because there's going to be more to this how in the coming weeks, but you need to realize he's talking about walking worthy of our calling with lowliness and gentleness and with long suffering. Not necessarily words that we always like, right? Long suffering. Remember Krista getting a prophetic word early on about being long suffering. She's like, was that supposed to be helpful and encouraging? She understood it later on, right? When you look back, but it's not really, didn't feel too helpful. And then it says, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's a word that will come up a couple times. So let's read Colossians verse 12. We'll start at verse chapter 3, verse 12. It says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Let's just stop there. Look at your neighbor and say, did you know that you're holy and you're beloved? Like, really? That's not just somebody he's looking going, okay, who's actually holy and beloved? He's talking to the body of Christ, the believers of God. And he's like, hey, to the elect of God, holy and beloved. Holy, you're beloved. It's pretty amazing. There was a joke in there. Put on the tender, listen to these words again. Put on the tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against you, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But, verse 14, above all these things. Like he just listed, and we'll work through these another day. Look what he listed. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, and then verse 14. But above all these things, those are all fantastic things, but above all those things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. It's interesting when you look up that word bond, the definition of bond literally has in it, it's like a ligament. It's interesting, Claude, and different ones that know body parts. As I looked it up quickly last night, ligaments attach joints, bone to bone. It's interesting, I think, that ligaments are not there to attach a similar bone to a similar bone. It's like it's attaching my femur to my tibia and fibula. These ligaments are attaching things all over your body, and it literally says that's a bond. You tore your Achilles tendon, ligament and tendons. Separated, right? That was back many years ago. Painful? Somewhat. How many have ever separated or tore a ligament? Painful? So he's trying to describe that love is this incredible bond. When we try to use other things to keep us together, it will always either pale or fail. That's the reality. When you try to have something, like if it's not love in a marriage, it's going to pale or fail. Pale in comparison to what it could be or ultimately fail. You know, when I've done counseling, people say, well, you know, I love him, but when we get married, he'll change. How many know those are dangerous things when you counsel someone? Because if you can't love them the way they are, oh boy. You know, people go into contracts and businesses because of what they write. But the reality is if something changes and that's all it's based on, how many know that relationship will eventually fail? And what Jesus is trying to say is, hey, you're going to have a bond of perfection that's going to keep you together. And that ligament that keeps you together, one person to the other person, one body to the other body, the only thing that it can be is love. And it can't be that brotherly love. That's that earthly level love. That's okay. But I want to take it to, I want to upgrade your love. It's going to be an upgrade and it's going to be agape love. Okay? You guys with me? I'm going to read something out of Romans. You don't have to turn there because it's mine. You may have a type of Bible that I have. Listen to the definition of agape love. Agape love. I'll read the whole thing. It says, it's outside the New Testament. It rarely occurs in existing Greek manuscripts of this period. Agape denotes, listen to the words, an undefeatable, undefeatable benevolence, unconquerable goodwill that always seeks the highest good of the other person, no matter what he does. Now, in your own mind, if you're like, that's a high calling. Yes, it is. But how many we just read, how do we get this agape love? It's been what? Poured out into our hearts by who? Holy Spirit. So how do we get this? Holy Spirit, help. Make us aware of your presence. You've promised us, Holy Spirit. The Word of God says that when Holy Spirit came into me, that you filled me with agape love. So I'm pulling on that right now. Holy Spirit, come. Do you get the idea? Keep reading it. Unconquerable goodwill that always seeks the highest good of the other person, no matter what he does. It's the self-giving love that gives freely without asking anything in return and does not consider the worth of its object. Did you hear that? Does not consider the worth of its object. I look at that two ways. Sometimes God gives us something and it means a lot, but we're like, you know what? It's not about the worth of this object. But I also love it because agape love looks at the person it's giving to and doesn't measure whether they should give that to the person based on what they see. Right? Because sometimes we can get caught up in that. But Lord, you know, you want me to give them money. They don't spend their money properly. No, we don't look at the object. You look at what you're being told to do. That's obedience. Yeah, but Lord, you want me to go over and hug that person? They look like a prostitute. Are you going to listen to me? Not look at the object. What do we call it? We call it digging for gold, right? We want to see the gold in the person. Jill and Judy, you do that so well on the streets and you've trained your team and you have a whole team that does that. The prophetic, we've been learning to do that. Go after the gold in people. But that's that agape love. That's the agape love that you felt after a conference. When God shows up and walks through the midst of us, that agape love now begins to fill the room. And I think personally, we breathe it in. You're looking at me. Come on, are there not atmospheres on the earth? Right? When you smell something, when you smell that, you breathe it in. It's this beautiful perfume. Well, I think when God shows up, there's an agape love that's released in the midst of us. When we worship and he shows up, God is love. Therefore, he fills the atmosphere. I think spiritually speaking, when we begin to take that breath and say, Lord, fill me, I think that's why we walk around after. We're all like love-eyed. I love you. And thank you, Ron. You'll give me a hug. We just get this love. I've heard somebody said recently, you know, before my husband was really on fire, he loved when I went to worship services because when she would come back, she'd be so full of love. Follow that one where you will. In Colossians, we read, above all things. I want to read one more thing to you. You can turn there with me. 1 Peter 4:8. As you're turning there, I read last week Ephesians 4, verse 13. It says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of faith. And that word I spoke in Ephesians 4, it said endeavoring. That word endeavoring is to pursue, to strive, to go after. It means to endeavor to go after the bond of unity. And now in 1 Peter 4:18, it says, above all, 1 Peter 4:8, above all things. Do you remember hearing that a few minutes ago? We read it in Colossians. He listed all those things and he said, above all these things, these are amazing things. These are all part of the ingredients of unity. But above all that, you need agape love. Because I don't really think we're going to do this part well unless we get agape love. Because I think all this comes from agape love. Tender mercies, long suffering and all that. In 1 Peter 4:8, it says, above all these things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. You know that word fervent is used twice. And the other place it shows up, it's the verse that says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That word without ceasing is the same word here they're using for fervent. So let's put that in there. Above all things, have love that does not cease. Have love without ceasing. So Ephesians says, endeavor, go after it. Peter says, man, without ceasing, have agape love. And then ends with, for love will cover a multitude of sins. When you're reading throughout the day, throughout the week, when we look at what Jesus and how he walked, it just takes 5 seconds to realize this agape love that he walked in. I was thinking in the morning and then during worship, the woman caught in adultery. Don't you love he didn't actually try to figure out why? You realize that? He didn't stop and try to understand the situation. He could see right to her heart. The love that he carried that could just surpass arguments and different things and went, let's just, hey, agape love. Why don't you stand? Rod, do you remember that moment? Like, how cool is it the way God does things? That moment during a conference, two conferences ago, the one that we would have had, and then I think it was the one before that, or the one before that, when I wanted that illustration of putting headphones on that young person. And I picked somebody randomly. I honestly picked him randomly out of the crowd, only to find out, did all of you or two of you already wanted to minister to that young man? All of you guys did. Can you just think of that for a minute? The agape love of God would be taking notes that I'm preparing to bring a message with an idea. He has me scan the crowd only to find out that this man is broken and hurting. Also the man that Dorman confronted because he was in a bad, bad place. Would pick that man and already put 3 prophetic words on 3 prophets' hearts so that I could prophesy to him and none of us knew any of it. Okay, does anybody else go, okay, that's a cool God. That's a cool God. And that was a weekend that his life was radically transformed. Gave up drugs, gave up friendships, still walking with God today. Come on. Oh, God is so good. I had a meeting with Walter the other day. I told him, remember in June when everything erupted, and I said, Walter, I'd love to sit down with you because I don't know a lot. You know, I lived in a rural county, pretty much farmers. We were all just white. I said, I don't know a lot. I want to sit down with you and you can share. And what a great conversation with a man that I found to be honestly unoffendable, right? You guys know him well. Just blessed that I could ask him hard questions because he didn't get offended. But the one thing I think that I pulled from that more than anything, he says, Jay, this is his opinion, but he's like, I don't think honestly we should use the word racism. He says, we are one race. We are the human race. He says, we have ethnic diversity, but we're one race. I thought, oh, I just grabbed a hold of that tidbit. But I watched a man with such love that wasn't offended, that we could talk, and we just had such a beautiful conversation. I did a funeral yesterday, and I watched as people that loved on this Jamaican couple who lost their son, stillborn. You know, there are good things happening right now in our nation. We're reading a lot of other stuff, aren't we? But when you see that these neighbors, predominantly white, gathered and did a vigil for them, loving on this Jamaican family, this one beautiful Dutch woman, she couldn't walk up the stairs, and when she saw that I got to the door, she hobbled out and she said, "Could you please give them this? I can't get up the stairs." She gave them this beautiful bouquet of flowers, hardly even knowing them, but just knew that these are a couple that are hurting. And I'm like, I know that there's racism or ethnic diversity, as we should say, but I'm telling you, there are a lot of people that love people well. And that agape love, as we get it, will begin to pour through us. I'm like, what a beautiful moment to see a community embrace a Jamaican couple because they have no family locally. I don't even know if they're all saved, but all I knew is God was pouring his love out through them. So Father God, we thank you for unity. Lord, we thank you for a heavenly unity that you are going to teach us. But Lord, we just continue every week to say we're going after it. It's not easy, but Lord, we have a promise today that we can grab a hold of from Romans 5:15 that says that you poured out agape love into us, into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So Lord, we just remind ourselves whenever we think that we can't do it, it's too hard, I'm angry. Lord, we just stop. We're going to learn to say, Lord, reveal your presence. Let us become more aware of your presence. And then when we get into that place, we're going to learn to say, Lord, pour out your love, because you promised that through your Holy Spirit, you did, you will, and you will continue to. Lord, we just say right now, help. Holy Spirit, fill us with your love. Fill us with that unconquerable love that cannot be defeated, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.